Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said the optimist sees an opportunity in every calamity. A pessimist sees a calamity in every opportunity. Once again, we appreciate the opportunity of coming your way and the opportunity of looking together into the Word of God. I'm thankful that God made the Bible easy enough to understand that regardless of who we are, we can learn the teachings of the Bible. It is in simplicity that the way of salvation is made known unto us. So we're very glad that you're with us today and that we have this opportunity of study of the Word of God. All right, let's get back to our study now, and we're looking at some examples of spirituality. To be spiritually minded is life. To be carnally minded is death. Now, that's not much of a choice, and yet there are some, in fact the majority, who choose to be carnally minded. Can you look at a person who's trying to please God in their life and see and tell that they are spiritually minded? Well, would there be some way, some criteria that would help me to understand that person's living spiritually? And the answer is yes. Christ living in us is seen by the world round about us. That's the reason Jesus said in the great Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5 and verse 13 through 16, "You're the salt of the earth. If the salt hath lost its savor, it is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. You're the light of the world. A city which is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but put it on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine, therefore, before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Doesn't the passage we're just looking at say that when people see what you're doing, the way that you're living, that glory will go to God as a result of it? Friends, that's the idea of living spiritually. We live according to God's Word. The characteristics that are characteristics of the spiritually minded are characteristics of our life, and therefore we ought to be able to pick them out. We've done that with reference to Mary and Martha. We've done that with reference to Dorcas, who used her abilities in service to God. We were looking yesterday at a man named Stephen that we read about in the 7th chapter of the book of Acts. This man is a man who was an active servant of the Lord. The occasion arose when he is able to stand before an assembly of people who had no love for Jesus. They had no concern about doing the right thing. They were only concerned in vindicating themselves in their conduct. How are they going to meet the approval of God and also the approval of others round about? Well, Stephen begins preaching. And as he preaches to them, he explains to them how that their fathers had acted in a very similar manner to the way people were acting at that time. They had taken the Son of God, crucified him, and were responsible for his death. But their forefathers had also rejected the prophets, turned them down, and the history of these people was the history of rejection of God and of his will. Now, that message was a message that Stephen surely understood they would not want to hear. Does a person decide what he's going to preach based on what people want to hear? Friends, if a preacher has no more conviction than to stand in the pulpit and to ask people, "You tell me what you want me to say, and I'll go ahead and say it," there's something wrong somewhere. Now if that same man would say to God, "You tell me by your word what you want me to say," and then that man would say that, that would be a man who is spiritually minded, a man of conviction. But there are some, because it makes you an enemy to them, that, well, they just rather not speak the truth because they don't want to make enemies. There are some even popular television preachers who are very popular in our world today, but it's quite obvious that they're not going to say anything that contradicts anything anybody believes because, well, it certainly would hurt his popularity. In the Galatian letter, chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul asked the question, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Does it make me an enemy to tell somebody the truth? Now, Stephen can do one of two things. He can preach the truth to the people and suffer the wrath of those who want nothing to do with it. Or he can compromise the truth, and those who are round about him will think that he's a good man, and he's saying good things, and he's making me feel good, therefore he must be a good preacher. Well, there are many preachers like that in our world today. There are preachers who do not at any time want to offend anyone. They simply say, "We don't want to drive anyone away." Well, friends, if the truth and preaching what God said drives somebody away, well, would spirituality say, "I'll just back off from the truth"? Do you remember Jesus said in John 8 and verse 32, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free"? Now, does that mean that a part of the truth will free you from your sins? That maybe if you compromise the truth and cover it up, you'll be made free from sin because of that attitude? Or does the Bible simply expect us to preach the Word of God? Well, look at a passage that answers that in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul writes to the young preacher Timothy, and he says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine." A gospel preacher that I've known of in time gone by had made this statement, and it's certainly true in regard to what is said. Preaching it in season, out of season, means you preach it when they like it and when they don't like it. Sometimes people don't want to hear it, but you still preach the truth because the truth makes men free. Error doesn't do that. Half-truth does not free men from their sins. You have a responsibility before God. Stephen, realizing that, was willing to please God even if it displeased the people he was talking to. And he was willing to give his very life so that he might uphold the teaching that he understood came from God. Well, friends, the Bible teaches that the truth is God's means of salvation, and any preacher who's, well, this is a common expression, worth his salt, would stand for the truth. Please be with us again tomorrow when we continue our study. Remember, it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.